Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care.
Greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Hey, 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 hey
Seminole stomp dance song. Ashkwe, greetings and welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices on Global Community Radio, Radio for Peace International. In today's program, we have the pleasure to share a conversation with two very special people, Andy and Helene Buster. Mr. Buster serves as a tribal judge for his Miccosukee Tribal Nation and works in social health care on the reservation. His wife, Helene, a professional nurse, directs a health clinic for her Florida Seminole community. Yadkiddishi Native Center is honored to have Andy and Helene as members of our advisory council. I am also grateful that they are longtime close personal friends. Throughout Pahokee, Florida Everglades Indian Country, Andy and Helene are highly regarded for their community service. One afternoon, while visiting in their home, we sat down together with a small tape recorder to share some thoughts with each other. I would like to again thank my dear friends for all the good things they do, and again thank them for sharing some comments here on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Our next guest on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices is Helene Buster, a Seminole nurse and director of one of the Seminole health clinics on the reservation. In addition, Helene is a very respected community member, and I feel that she's very concerned for the well-being not only of tribal members, but also that of the health of the Florida Everglades. I consider Helene to be a role model, not just for Native women, but for everyone everywhere, and I wish there were more people like Helene Buster. I'd like to thank you for being here on Wolf Mountain Native Radio.
Thank you for inviting me. My name is Helene Buster, and I am a Seminole tribal member and of the Panther Clan. As Ornez was saying, I am a nurse, but more importantly, I think in my life is I'm a recovering alcoholic and a drug addict. For 13 years, I've been recovering and found that this is where my life is. Before I only existed, I didn't have a life. Today, because of my recovery, I do have a life, and I'm very happy in it. A lot of changes happened in my life in the last 13 years due to my recovery, and I'm very grateful to my higher power for that. I've been a nurse for 10 years. Started out as an LPN. Actually, probably 13 years, but I started out as an LPN because of my background, my records. I did not think I would be able to be licensed as a nurse because I was a felon. You know, what I was doing when I was out drinking and drugging, and in those years, you know, I caused myself a lot of problems. And when I decided that I needed to do something with my life other than get drunk and leave my children everywhere except with me, you know, that I made that decision, and with that decision I decided to go back to school and become a nurse. And I became an LPN because I didn't know if the state would license me, and I had to petition to the state board and take an attorney with me and all this, and they allowed me to get my license. And once I was a license, I worked as an LPN for 1 year and then went back to school to get my RN because that's where I really wanted to be. And with that, I've been working with my tribe ever since I've been a nurse for 10 years. And in that, I've learned a lot. You know, not only do we have the problems of drug and alcohol abuse and domestic violence, but we have a lot of hypertension and diabetes. And that's where my interest lies, not only in the substance abuse, because I do a lot of work there too, but the diabetes is one of the main things that I really work on, and work personally with people on a one-on-one basis to help them recognize their disease. Because just like alcoholism and drug abuse, if you don't honor it as a disease and something that you have to live with for the rest of your life, you know, you'll never be able to deal with it or handle it. So, you know, that's what I try to tell people, that you have to accept that this is something that is yours. You know, whether you want it or not, you have it, and it's there forever. And once you can accept that, then you can learn to live with it and do the things that you need to have a productive life and a good life. You can have a good life with diabetes. It just depends on whether you want to or not, and what you want to do with that disease and its process.
Helene, as you know, one of the greatest concerns of our Yadkiddishi Native Center is the well-being of our future generations, our concern for the next generation of young people to appreciate and know our cultural history, our languages, our arts, our ways of life. And yet in the modern times, many of our young people both on the reservation and in urban areas are being sucked into the so-called mainstream society. There's a lot of alcoholism, drug abuse, gangs, and just all the kind of distractions from our traditional ways. And I'm very glad that at least here, the Seminole and Miccosukee tribal nations, a culture still seems to be somewhat strong. You and Andy speak in your language, which I think is a real blessing for the young people. Do you have concern for the future generations, and just share some thoughts about that?
Our children, I feel like they have an identity problem. And they see what the world is. They watch TV. They go out to public schools. They interact in, you know, outside activities and things like that. They're away from the reservations, and they see, you know, what everybody else is doing and what they're, and they really don't have an identity of their own, because we as parents and in a changing time ourselves haven't really, you know, valued our traditions and our culture enough to make sure that our children understand, you know, why we do the things that we do and why we were taught the things that we were taught. We didn't pass it on to our children, so they know they're natives, you know, they know that they have a different tradition, a different culture than most people, but they don't really know it to be able to identify with it. And so therefore they're out there searching and trying to identify with other people and their identities that they have, you know, because the black people seem to really know who they are and what, you know, what they want, you know. And so and our youth go after that, you know, and not just the blacks, but all the other cultures, you know. That's just an example that I'm using because, you know, they grow up and they know, you know, they're taught that, you know, they're from Africa and that, you know, this is the way they were brought here and what happened and what happened and why they should stand up for their rights and things like that. The majority of our children in our tribe, I feel like, don't even know about the Seminole Wars. They can't relate to how and why we're here in Florida, why we're here in the swamps, you know. This was land that nobody wanted, that we were, you know, we ran down here to hide, you know, from, to survive, you know. And we ended up down here, and lo and behold, everybody wants this land now. But, you know, they don't understand that. They don't know, you know, about the Seminole Wars that we had and what our forefathers had to go through so that we can have the things that we have today. And because of casinos and tax-free cigarettes and things like that, we have, you know, luxuries that our forefathers never had. And it was their dream for us, and we have that dream. We're living that dream today. But if our children don't get their identities, if we don't do something to help our children to find out who they are, then there's going to be nothing for the future generations. It's going to stop. There's not going to be any tradition. There's not going to be any language. And we keep saying that over and over, and we're teaching our children now in school, you know, and trying to give them, you know, a base to go on. But like when I was first married, I was married to another Miccosukee man, and he spoke his language and I spoke my language, and we didn't understand each other's language. So our main language was English at home. So we have two daughters that doesn't speak either language. If we were smart, our daughters should be speaking both language plus English, but we didn't do it that way. Our daughters learned English, and my oldest daughter is always very upset with me because she wants to know the language, and my grandchildren are learning the language, and so she has to, you know, try to learn through them. But it's, you know, it was our place as parents to put these traditions and culture into their lives, and we didn't. And so now we have lost children that are out searching, and the only thing that they're finding is drugs and alcohol out there. And to fill that void, that empty spot that they have, that's the way I feel about it. And so I feel a big responsibility today, not only as a Native person, but as a recovering person, you know, in our communities, to do whatever I can to try to help these children and adults in our communities, you know, try to see, you know, a different way of life, you know, that you know, alcohol and drugs are not the answer. You know, that there's other things in this life that are more important than that, but you have to have a reason to want to find it. And I think that our people are still out there searching. And I don't know, you know, we can just keep doing what we're doing, and it seems like a slow process, and that, you know, not that many people really want it, but we have to continue to do our work. And you know, and I tell Andy all the time, I said, if we can help only one person a year, that's worth everything that we do all year long. If we can help one person to find sobriety, to find a higher power in their life and get some spirituality, because that's the most important thing. Once you can get a little bit of that spirituality in your life, yes, and you can feel that, then you're on a different journey than where you were.
You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices on Global Community Radio. My guest today is Helene Buster, a very close personal friend of mine, a member of the Seminole Tribal Nation here in what's now called Florida. And I'm in her home, the Everglades, with her fine husband, my good friend too, Andy Buster. And Helene, the next question, comment area that I want to talk about is a concern that I have expressed many times on this program, and that is Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices tries to educate the public to get a better and deeper appreciation and understanding of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. And one of the real strong misstandings and misperceptions about our culture is the image of women, Native women, and some of that obviously has to do with how the media, such as Hollywood movies and TV, have portrayed women as so-called squaw and second class. And in fact, in history, many of our Native nations all over the world are headed by our clan mothers, our governments, our matriarchies, and women play an equal and important role in place in Native society, and we're very loved and honored and appreciated because as men we know they are the keepers of our future generations. And in fact, it's very upsetting to me that one of the modern diseases we are suffering in Indian country is the disrespect and mistreatment of women in our societies. I guess you call it spousal abuse. That's a whole area of you know, health. Would you talk a little bit about the historical role of women in Seminole society and some of the contemporary problems Native women are facing, such as spousal abuse?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, you know, women in our tribe are I don't know how to say this. They are the ones that carry the clan, and the clan is the most important thing in our tribe. Our clan is what makes us, it identifies who we are and what kind of people we're from, the background. My clan is the Panther clan, and we're the medicine keeper. You know, our families are, we carry the medicine at our religious ceremonies. You know, our people, the Panther clan, are the ones that takes care of the medicines and kind of pretty much runs the show in the ceremonies. And so the women are the way that the clans are carried on. They don't get it from the father, they don't get it from anybody, they get their clans from their mother. And one of the things that are happening today is that our men are marrying outside of our tribes, and if they marry another Native clan, Native tribe, then they may get a clan from that tribe, but it really doesn't, you know, really doesn't mean anything to us as Seminoles, because we have the 8 clans, and that's what our tribe is run on. Our tradition and cultures are based on those 8 clans. So, you know, women play a very important role in our tribes, even though our women do not really lead. You know, they're not in high positions in our tribe. They're the backbones, and they know that, you know. And I always kind of laugh and say, in today's world, you know, the men are up there leading, they're being our leaders, but, you know, we're just letting them, because, you know, we let them think they're leading us, because it's the women that really control what is happening, you know. And we need to sometimes really stop and look at what's going on, and, you know, the men, whether go back to their clan and find out what their clan mothers and what their clan are saying that needs to be done, and, you know, and follow those things, because our tribe is, like, right now, in my mind, going to pots because we're going away from our traditions. We're not following what we're supposed to and doing what our mothers and our grandmothers and all had taught us to do and how to carry on as human beings. And that's what's taught through our clans, is how we're supposed to present ourselves, the kind of people that we're supposed to be. And that's very important. Clans don't marry same clan. You know, that's like marrying your brother or your sister. You know, you don't marry, you have to marry outside of your clans. And because we don't follow those traditions today, is the reason that our people say that things are going wrong, and you know, sisters and brothers are sleeping together and having children together because they're marrying to the same clans, and then you get things like the domestic violence and things. But, you know, really, it doesn't matter what clan you are or anything. Domestic violence and things of that nature are not right. You know, men shouldn't hit on women, and women shouldn't really hit on men, you know, because some women are bigger than men, you know, and you look at it as being unfair when a man beats on a woman. You think, you know, what chance does a woman have? But sometimes the roles are reversed, and you have that domestic violence where the woman is the perpetrator, you know, and we need to look at that too, because a lot of that goes on in our tribe, and I see that, you know, and especially if the man is not a tribal person, you know, he's more of a target, you know, and especially when there's substance abuse going on, it really, really becomes a problem. I don't know, I work with a lot of people, and not only in the health, but in the recovery world. We work with a lot of people that are in this situation, and, you know, the only thing that I feel like, being in that situation myself in a previous marriage and a relationship of being abused, you know, I couldn't understand when I was there why the things were going on, you know, why I was being beat. You know, I'd stay home, I'd do the things that I did, you know, and I took blame for everything that did happen to me. You know, it was my fault if I'd done this better, if I did that better. But today I know that that's not true. Yeah. And so I tried to share that with other people, with the other women in my community that are going through that, that they don't have to go through that, you know. I went through 13 years of the domestic violence, you know, and it was like nobody could understand, and you really can't see it until you're out of it. When you're in that situation, you're there, and you feel like there's no way out, but there is, you know. And it took me a lot of years to find out there was a way out, and once I made that decision to get out, then I could see it. But it wasn't until I decided that I had to do something, or I was going to die, yes, or I was going to be killed, that I had to get out of there. Then I could understand and I could see where I've been. You know, I stayed in that relationship because I thought I was doing the right thing. I didn't have a father growing up. And that's another thing, you know, the men in our society, the purpose that they have is to, you know, is to have children, to produce children. And that's it. And if they didn't stay with the family, then that was okay, because, you know, the women are the ones that pass on the clan and everything. The women's family is the one that teach the children the traditions and the culture. It doesn't come from the father's side, it comes from the mother's side. So the father's only real job is to produce the child, you know, and that's it. And the mother, you know, she conceives, she has it, she raised the family, that family, the Panther clan or whatever the clan is the family that raises that one. And his family doesn't really have that much to do with them, you know. So, I mean, there's been instances like when the mother died and the father, you know, was asked just to leave the camp because he really had no business there. Yes. You know, it wasn't, he didn't have anything to do with the children. Yes. So, but, you know, it's just so much has gone on in our times, and so much has changed. And it's not that it's really changed. We've changed it, you know, by not learning the culture and tradition. And I think, to me, that's the bottom line, is that because if we go back to what our teachings are, our traditions and our culture are, that our lives would change and that we would be back on the right path. Now we're trying to live another society's life, you know, and that's what's killing us. Yes. It's because we learn other things, you know. Before, there wasn't jealousy, you know, because you knew that, you know, the man was there to do a certain thing, and then once that was done, he was, you know, he could go and do it. You know, you didn't have that kind of commitment where you would get jealous and, you know, you expect this man to be there forever and ever and do all this stuff. You know, to me, I'm thinking maybe that was the right way to go. If you didn't have that person, you had your family, you know, and that was who was going to help you raise your family. Your clan family and your own immediate family, they're the ones that was going to be there and to help you. And